Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
Hey everybody, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. This is 25 Whistles. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BOBBYSPORTS to get in on the action. Mike, legally, what can I not say anymore?
You can't say bet whatever I say and be rich.
Oh.
Legally? Mm. Will somebody go to jail?
Hey, but that's kind of true though. Yeah.
Mike was like, hey, this is what you can't say anymore. I was like, save it. Tell us all together. So we all know what we can't say, or mostly you guys could just be like, you can't say that. Cut
okay.
that out.
All right.
But to be fair, if I'm being legally accurate, I'm 10-0. You would be rich.
You're saying it again.
No, I'm you saying if you... Sorry. It's a good point. So I will no longer say that. And it's not, also not how I feel, right? I say that kidding, because I'm 10-0. I can't believe it. I'm not saying that in a bragging way, but I need to say it as many times as possible, because after this week, it ain't going to happen anymore. Mm. If you've bet with me, I'm not going to say it.
You were close.
You've had
you
more
close.
Smiles than frowns. Is that legal, Mike? You've had, ask the lawyer, can I say, if you bet with me, you'll have more smiles than
I'll
frowns.
I'll check on that phrasing.
That sounds pretty good.
I mean, it's harmless.
Yeah. All right. Kick off, Kevin. Whistle us in and we'll get started with episode 8. That's really
weak.
That was really weak, man.
Oh,
that was like a Jordan Davis half whistle.
Like the play wouldn't even stop with that whistle.
They'd have been like, was that a whistle or a fan? So, again, big thanks to Jordan Davis, who did the whole show with us and was really good. Not that I didn't expect him to be good, but he was like, it was really good and just hung out and talked and knew sports and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, big shout out to Jordan Davis. And again, thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook for being, you know, the reason we get to do this. All right, warm-up question. What is your favorite sports movie of all time? Let's go first to Eddie. Eddie?
Producer Eddie here. And let me tell you, this is a no-brainer for me. When it's on TV, I stop what I'm doing, and I'm watching Field of Dreams. I love Field of Dreams since the first time I've seen it, and I've probably seen it about 200 times.
Yeah, I like Field of Dreams a lot. It's a bit dated now. Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It just feels
It takes place in the, you know, like these White Sox.
No, but just how it looks. I agree. I like Field of Dreams
a lot.
The
Black Sox are from the 20s, dude. So outdated. It started outdated.
Broski. The Black Sox is him flashing back.
Uh-huh.
He's not actually in that era.
Shoeless Joe Jackson,
well,
though.
Well, yes, but he's flat.
He even asked, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Okay. Yeah, we've all seen it. And it's really good.
Moonlight Graham. Yeah. I love it, man.
Hey, Mike, what do you think? Best sports movie of all time?
Mine's a recent one. Mine is Uncut Gems, about sports betting.
Ooh. Man, I tell you, I didn't love it.
Oh, I loved it. The anxiety that movie gave me is one of the best feelings I've had watching a movie in the last 5 years. Incredible movie.
I liked it, but I think I expected to love it. And didn't really love it. And I like sports. Hey, I like sports betting. And bet with me, more smiles than frowns.
I've never seen it. So what? He's like, gets himself
Adam
in
Sandler?
Trouble?
Mike, explain it to Eddie.
he keeps getting in more and more trouble as he makes bigger and bigger bets that get, yeah, and it escalates very quickly.
It's you with your wife, but on a lower scale.
Yeah, because yeah, like, I bet dollar bets.
Yes, yes. Kick off, Kevin, best sports movie.
My favorite is Friday Night Lights. I think it brings a little bit of everything, reminds me of some high school days, and you got the ups, the downs, the partying, the lifestyle, and the acting is unreal. So that's it for me, Friday Night Lights.
Adam?
My favorite of all time is The Waterboy. And I know that's not cool, but that was one of the first sports movies that I ever just fell in love with because I was in eighth grade and thought everything Adam Sandler did was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought about going with Cool Runnings.
Ooh, really?
Because that's just a good, and it's sports. And Jamaica, we have a bobsled team.
Bobsled.
And then Rudy's obviously strong, just solid. But I think in the end, I'm going with Rocky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's the ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have to. I mean, Rudy was up there, though. Field of Dream, A League of Their Own is also really good because it's somewhat historical. I mean, Madonna did play baseball professionally in the 20s.
or 30s or whatever. Right. Gina Davis, too.
Yes. But I really liked Field of Dreams, too. Tom Hanks, of course. But I'm going to go with Rocky. Just
which Rocky is your favorite?
Okay, if I had to pick one, I'm so cliche. It's four. It's the most cliche answer. It's the most Americanized, somebody dies, somebody fights for his honor, the Russian's the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's very much that. I liked four the best. Two was good. You know, I had to watch it. Because two, Rocky finally wins. Mm-hmm. One.
Yeah, the first was a draw.
Yeah, and one was shot cheaper. And he lost, didn't he, in one?
No, I think it was
a draw.
It was a draw.
Was it a draw?
That's why they rematched.
Apollo just kept the belt.
Maybe that's why I thought, I was young. Maybe I thought, boy, he keeps the belt.
I mean, it came out in the 70s, dude.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, probably four. And then they got kind of bad. What was the blonde guy's name?
Tommy Gunn.
Oh, Tommy the Machine Gun?
What's his real name?
Tommy Morrison.
When Tommy Morrison was acting in it, and he was a very good actor, and they were like fighting each other in the alley.
Yeah,
I was
man.
Like, you know, Rocky's kind of jumped the old shark.
Yeah.
But then it came back. I like the fight, and I like the new ones too.
You like the Creed. Balboas and the Creeds?
Yeah, I do like the Creeds. I do. Okay, that's your one.
Hold on, real quick. The Balboas and the Creeds or whatever. Like Drago's. There's one right where Drago's still not over it. He's still pissed. I'm like, dude.
Yes, because his son.
Yeah, I get it. But you guys are like 70 now. Get over it.
Yeah,
but Drago is poor. And like his life isn't going well.
So is Rocky.
No, wait a minute. But he never had a shot because he felt like he was screwed over by the Federation, the Russian Federation. I would be resentful too.
You really thought about this, didn't you?
Well, right when you said that, but I remember watching it feeling bad for Drago.
Yeah.
Because he was just a young, uneducated guy that Russia had trained to be a great boxer, and they didn't do him right. They gave him every resource, but it was only these quick resources. And he lost, and then they kind of discarded him. He's now a loser.
All right, you convinced me. Yeah, I get it. I'd be pissed too.
And I felt, and his son was in one of the Creeds fighting.
That's it, Creed.
And I felt bad for him. And he's like just getting his son up. He's like, come on. But I felt bad for Drago. But now they're going to do that series too.
Drago versus Creed?
No, just Drago. Or just that family, him, that family now.
Well, that's cool.
So that'd be pretty cool. All right, let's hit that old tit. Tattle. Here we go.
It's time for the stupidest name ever. It's the Tittle Tattle with Kickoff Kevin.
Remember, if you don't agree, you have the right to blow your whistle. I think, because we've done 7 episodes now, Kevin, we've made you be like the unbiased sports reporter. If you disagree, you can blow your freaking whistle too. Because you have so many opinions, you're not just here for doing nothing. So you know what? We're unleashing the dragon.
Nice. It's like a big relief off the shoulders here.
It is. Okay, go ahead.
All right, we'll kick it off. Back in Seattle, Monday night, Russell Wilson played there, his return. There's a lot of boos going on. Do you agree with those boos or disagree?
I just generally agree with booing. I'm okay with it. You paid a ticket. I don't like booing if somebody or cheering either way if somebody's hurt or something like human. But it's theatrics. Sports is theatrics. You can't shoot fireworks and have a jumbotron and have big announcers and make it as theatrical as possible and then not allow theatrics from the fans. So I was surprised they booed as hard as they did. And I probably wouldn't have booed. But yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with booing. Like you paid a ticket. As long as you're not yelling curse words about the coach's wife, there are absolutely limits you should not, you know, hit and go beyond. But yeah, I'm cool with it. No, not wrong. And he did ask for a trade. Yep. Let's not forget.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he is known as a difficult person to deal with. So all good. I mean, Ed Warder's coming on and we interviewed him and he's awesome. And we talk about Russell Wilson and he was there in Seattle when it happened. But I don't have a problem with booing. It's theater. So boo away.
Question. Mm. If you're Russell Wilson, do you get your feelings hurt when they boo? Or are you kind of just like,
I don't know,
whatever?
That he has feelings.
Really? He's a human.
I think he's very, 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 very sensitive about some things. But he's also like a robot
he's
and
a robot.
Other things.
Yes.
It's a weird situation.
Okay. He's odd.
And I don't... Yeah, he's odd. I mean, yes.
We don't know much about him,
but
though.
But I say that from someone who... I'm odd, right? But yes, he's an odd duck.
Yeah.
But you have to be... You have to be odd to oddly pursue something at the level that even these quarterbacks do. Like, you have to be so dedicated to this. So, other than Jamarcus Russell, you know, everybody's pretty odd at their work ethic. Yeah. All right, what's next?
There are a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad situational play in the first week. Do you think that has anything to do with cutting down the preseason games and starters hardly playing at all?
Yeah. It was more than I've ever seen before. Fumbles galore. Joe Burrow throws 69 interceptions. Nice. Yeah. And it was very sloppy. And that's not just a game being cut. That's also them just not playing players as much, even when they did have all the games, you know? And I understand not playing players, and it's a fine line that everybody has to walk, and I don't think you ever walk it correctly, because you could play all your players and get them ready, and they could get hurt. Or you could play none of them, and nobody could get hurt, and they get hurt game one. There's not a real science behind it. I'm sure there are analytics behind it, but you don't do it right or you don't do it wrong, but yes, I think a lot of that. Look at the kicking. The kicking sucked everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean... Everywhere's a little dramatic, but you saw the Colts cut Blankenship.
Yeah.
I love that dude because he wears glasses like that.
He looks like you. He reminds me of you.
That's the only reason. Yeah. So they cut him. You're talking about one of the best kickers in the NFL. I mean, there are two, Justin Tucker. And then if I'm picking somebody else, you know where I'm going to Cincinnati.
Yeah. McPherson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I'm going. And he missed.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think... That is exactly what that is. But
yeah, but what's the kicker's problem? Like they can kick any time of day, morning, night.
Well, you can also catch balls any time, day or night. But if you're not in actual gameplay and game situations, you know who was awesome was the safety in Kansas City, Reed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you watch the behind the scenes video of him kicking?
Yeah, that was cool.
So he had to go kick, and they were you got to go kick.
What's his name was hurt. Yeah.
So he had to kick, and first he goes in for an extra point and rips it, boom, right to the middle. He was the backup kicker in college, and he was a high school kicker. He was the emergency kicker in college, and he was a high school kicker. But he's also a great safety, so you don't want him kicking. You don't want him getting hurt in situations.
Right. Right.
And so he goes and he kicks the extra point, looks awesome doing it. And then he goes and does the kickoff and kicks it through the uprights.
Wow.
Boomed it.
That's a real
crazy
athlete.
That is such an athlete, but not all athletes can do that because you still have to specialize. Like, It was amazing to see, and I watched on Twitter like the behind the scenes of it all, where the coach is like, "You're gonna have to kick," and he's like, "Cool." He's like, "You good? Yeah, cool." Boom, drills it. Looks good too. Not even like one of the guys like, "Doom." It's like a, you know, 1960s kick, or somebody who shouldn't
uses
really,
the toes.
Or when someone does a quick kick, like a quarterback decides to do, you know, a punt on third down. Right. It's odd.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
That's cool.
He was awesome. I think a lot, but quarterbacks can throw day or night too.
Yeah,
but it's game situation with crowds, games that matter. Mm-hmm. Just yes.
I think it's interesting that the one person that did play a lot of preseason games did really well in Mahomes. Like, the Chiefs look great. Yeah, he acted like preseason was regular season. He played his reps, scored, you know, how many touchdowns in the preseason, and there he goes. I think that truly is the reason week one was weird.
I think Mahomes is pissed off at everybody, though, and I think some of that, though, was him just going, all right, F with me. Act like I'm not the best for a whole offseason after a game.
Yeah.
I think he's got something to prove. And I'm just happy I drafted him in fantasy.
There you go.
That's it. All right, what's next?
All right, Jerry Jones said that Dak Prescott's not going to go on IR, and he'll be back pretty quick. Do you think Jerry's just trying to stay relevant here and rushing Dak back?
Well, it's 5 minutes before you asked this. We had Ed Warder on. Yeah. He does talk about this and how he does see Dak coming back earlier, maybe even in 4 weeks, and I'll let him say that. I don't think it's Jerry going, hey, we need to get you out there before you're ready. I don't. I'm glad they're not doing the experiment with Jimmy G. You have to give up too much for that, especially for something that could have been 6 or 8 weeks. I'd like to see Rush go out and win a couple games. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen, but it'd be cool.
It'd be, I mean, it's obvious the year I buy the Cowboys and our this happens.
So now you're like, come on, Cooper Rush.
I know, please. I'm the biggest Cooper Rush fan in the world.
Buying a jersey.
I want the jersey. Yeah. All right, what else you got?
All right, going to NCAA here. Which ranked team has more to prove at home this week, Oregon versus BYU or Texas A&M versus Miami?
It's Texas A&M Miami because nobody, I say nobody. If you're way West Coast, people just care less because they see you less. First of all. Oregon got whooped by Georgia, and I think that the real story was how strong Georgia was in that, not as much as how weak Oregon was, although that was kind of embarrassing for them. But Texas A&M comes out having the number one recruiting class. They're ranked number six. They get bullied. Again, Oregon got beat by Georgia, and that's embarrassing. You know what's more embarrassing? Getting beat by Appalachian State and getting bullied.
At home.
In your home stadium, yeah.
So Texas A&M has more to prove. If they lose against Miami, the wheels are going to fall off.
Yes.
They're going to fall off. And that'd be tough for them.
And Miami's no joke.
They're
solid.
Have a good quarterback.
Texas A&M should win.
They should. I agree.
They should. But they also should beat App State, honestly.
Exactly.
The Oregon-BYU game's interesting because BYU's real good. They were good. BYU's real good.
Yeah.
And you wonder because they beat Baylor in a great game. Dude, that I didn't stay up to watch, but I went back and watched. And that game... What, two overtimes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, I just keep watching BYU because Arkansas is going to play them. I may go out to Provo to watch it, maybe.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a long trip. But I think Texas A&M is embarrassed more than Oregon is because football matters more, and they've invested more into that program as far as, like, people and time and recruiting. And yeah, what else you got?
Do you think Nebraska should go after Urban Meyer?
Yeah. Why not? I hate Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll win. It depends. Do they want to allow their integrity, you know, to be kicked in the nads?
Yeah. Is it worth it to them?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you winning. Yeah. I say this. Winning solves everything.
I'm not going to let you say it.
Thank you.
It does.
Thank you.
I'm not going to let you say it.
Winning solves everything. I love Bob Petrino at Arkansas. Wasn't a good dude. He won. And anybody that doesn't think that you just win and you stay on the good side of the law, that's all we want. We don't know these people. Just win.
Man, it's got to be tough to be such a fan of a team and you believe in your team. And then if they hire Urban Meyer, the dude that you know is just going to bring bad press to you. Everyone hates him.
Deshaun Watson in Cleveland,
same thing. Same comparison. Like, I don't know if I was a Nebraska fan and that happened, I'd be like, I would hate it.
What if
they brought Deshaun to Dallas?
No! Like, I don't even want to think of that.
Now you have to say that now, though, because you have to say that. You can't be like, oh, I'd love it. You can't. You probably would have liked it, and you would have found a way to like it.
Deep down.
Yeah.
And you would like Urban Meyer to be the Nebraska coach. I hate that Scott Frost lost his job.
Yeah.
I hate that
he
couldn't do it, because we always like to see somebody from the root come up and do it.
The fact that Urban Meyer, isn't he doing TV now? Like, mm-hmm. Is he back on TV? Like,
now, yeah.
Who wants to hear a word this guy says?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
He's Urban Meyer, though. So, yes, you don't want to hear the word, but it's cool that he's there. That's what that's about. Yes, of course. Nebraska would. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right, what else you got? Last question.
That was it.
Okay, the Lions are a favorite this week. Oh, you want to close out the tit-tat?
Yep.
Here we go. All right, around the room here, the Lions are favorite this week after 24 straight games. It's been a season and a half since they were a favorite. Just that Vegas said, you know, you're at home. You get 3 points for being at home. You're a one-point favorite, which means you're not even as good, but we're going to give you the 3 points. They haven't been a favorite. And so they are the favorite against the Commanders. Question is, how many wins for the Lions this year? Kickoff, Kevin, you go first.
I'll go with 7.
Oof,
yeah, let's go with 7. I know. Yeah, I almost went with 8, actually. I think they played well last week. The Eagles are good. Eagles went up again pretty big on them early, but they came back, and maybe I'm buying the hype of the Hard Knocks with Dan Campbell and everything, but I hope they get 7. So I'll go 7.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I was going to say 7, but since you took 7, I'll take 6. I'm still not quite on the train just because they've been so bad for so long. They're going to have to show me that they can string together any amount of wins before I get my heart set on anything the Lions do.
I just wouldn't set my heart on the Lions at all. I mean, I like it. I like it if they win, but my heart ain't going into the Lions.
Yeah, sure.
I watched the game. It's And I talked to Ed Warder about it in a little bit. I was like, who's good and who's not? Because they both scored a bunch of points. Yeah. And that means somebody's doing good. Somebody's also not doing good. I think the Lions, if Goff can just play okay to pretty good, I think they win 9 games.
Ooh. Whoa. All right.
But again, you have to have Goff play pretty good. But I'm going to pick my number at 9.
Okay.
I'm an optimist here with Detroit. But, you know, they've got 2 running backs. Swift looked great.
Yeah, he looked awesome.
I just feel like if Goff can play okay, they will win. Eddie?
You know, I was talking crap to Kevin when he said, what'd you say, 7?
Yeah.
I'm looking at their schedule. Their schedule looks pretty weak. They play the Bears, you know, a couple times, obviously, the same division. There are some games here that I think they can win, but I'm going to put them at 5. I'm going to put them at 5 games. Guys, just because you saw Hard Knocks doesn't mean they're any better. And week 1 doesn't tell us anything about what these teams are going to do all year.
I drafted Amon St. Brown in both my fantasy leagues because I felt...
He looked good.
Yeah, he looked really good.
He looked really good. And Swift looks really good.
And Williams isn't even playing, and he may not play until later in the season. You know, the first round pick from... that they got last year. Because he had a hamstring injury at the end of last year, or tore an ACL.
Tore his ACL in the championship, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if he's going to affect anything this year, but it's a young team with a quarterback. Hutchinson's, you know, they've got different actual parts now.
They got weapons.
They just have the same owners. But somehow Cincinnati
they screw
did
it up,
too.
Don't they?
Cincinnati always did that too, though. And all of a sudden they didn't because they got a quarterback that came in and changed the culture. And a coaching staff that allowed him to come in and change the culture. But I'm going to go 9 because I like the Lions. I like a good loser, you know?
Oh, man, 9. You guys went high.
Well, I think even if I hadn't bought the Cowboys, I'd been rooting for the Cowboys because they're now such a loser that I'm starting to go, I should root for the Cowboys because they're losers.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, but now I bought them.
We accept that.
But yes, but that's like, I hate a team that wins. I'm never rooting for a team that always wins if I don't have a relationship.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm a loser.
You know we've been losers for a long time, right?
Yeah, but you act like winners.
Yeah.
You've had to lose so much. You've had to like double lose for us to look at, because you've all been bragging about the 90s and Michael Irvin. And
right, but at the end of every season, we're really losers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Every year.
The end of last year was brutal for me.
It was hard, dude. So hard.
Like sad.
You make it to the playoffs and then do that.
It's okay.
Hey, it's Kickoff Kevin here. And lately I've been listening to a lot of country music radio while I'm getting a workout in, whether it's at the gym, out on a run, and it's been great. But the reason it's been so great is because I use my Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these buds are so comfortable, and I promise you, they will not budge. Raycons also give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, and they're priced just right. You get the quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. Trust me, I'm an audio guy. I know good quality, and Raycon delivers. Not to mention some of their additional features that are my favorite, like the noise isolation, earbud tap functions, 3 customizable sound profiles. The list goes on and on. If you're looking to get some new wireless earbuds, I'm telling you, Raycon is a way to go. Just go to buyraycon.com today and use code BOBBYSPORTS, all one word, to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code BOBBYSPORTS at buyraycon.com and score that 15% off. Buyraycon.com, code BOBBYSPORTS, all one word.
Let's do yes or no. Round the room. Will Aaron Rodgers have a pretty bad year? Eddie.
No, not possible.
Really?
Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he'll figure out a way. It's just, I'm going to go back to week one. It's tough to really decide what these teams are going to do after watching week one. But Aaron Rodgers is a playmaker, man. He'll figure it out. He'll make adjustments, and you can't bet against him. He's gonna figure out a way to beat you every time.
He doesn't have any receivers.
He'll figure it out. I mean, this is the thing about the NFL. Like, yeah, they don't have big-name receivers, but these are still top athletes. I mean,
but they're playing against top athletes, too.
I get it. I think Aaron Rodgers always, I don't know how he does it, but I think he'll have a way to figure it out. He always does. He'll have a better season than you think.
Adam?
I agree with you, Eddie. Aaron Rodgers is just one of those guys that elevates the play of the people around him. He always has. I mean, did you hear of Jordy Nelson before, you know, before he started going off with Rodgers?
Yeah, but Jordy Nelson also had other guys
But then those, he kind of had some number one guys leave, and then he was the dude. So I don't know. I feel like he's a guy who can bring receivers along. If those guys are ever going to develop in their career as NFL receivers, it's going to be with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. So I feel like he can elevate their play, and they're going to figure some stuff out, win some games.
Jordy's on the phone. He's insulted.
Uh-oh.
He's like, ever heard of Jordy Nelson? Kickoff, Kevin?
I'm going to go with yes, because I just don't think he has, like you were saying, all the weapons around him like he's used to having, whether it's Jordy or I know he's got Randall Cobb, so his offensive line
is Cobb's 51. I just looked at that. Just turned 51.
Yeah, his offensive line is still hurt. I'm not sure if Valdez Scantling. Whatever
he
is.
He's with the Chiefs, isn't he?
Yes, he moved over.
I'm thinking
four catches. Yeah. On four targets. I haven't fancy him.
Oh, wow, man. You're so invested.
So he lost a lot of guys.
I know
guys.
Way too much about random people because I'm stupid fantasy.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with yes. Like, to his standards, yes, I think it'll be a down year.
I think it will be too.
Yeah.
Probably, to his standards, what does that mean?
Well, I said he's going to have a pretty bad year. But yes, that's what it would be as compared to his good years.
He's a two-time MVP.
Yeah, well,
Boy, he needs one more Super Bowl, though.
Oh, absolutely.
He has a Super Bowl, so he's good. But he needs one more to really be one of the great guys.
But this has got to be like one of the worst teams we've seen him on in a while.
Yeah. Let's do a couple of these pretty quickly. Will Josh Allen be the MVP, Eddie?
Possibly. I mean, it just depends.
Well, it obviously depends.
Who are you, me?
Never don't answer a question.
Okay.
Will Josh Allen be the MVP?
Yes.
Adam?
No. Patrick Mahomes.
Kickoff, Kevin?
Yes.
Lamar Jackson.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's got a lot to prove. By a lot, I mean he's got a lot of money to make. Will Saquon miss more than one game this season? Eddie?
Man, I hate to say it, but yes. I mean, his injury was so bad last time. Like, it's just, this game, he killed it. He killed it last week, but...
He always gets hurt.
He's injury prone. So yeah,
Adam?
I'm gonna say yes too. He's gonna miss some time. They're gonna lean on him too much.
Kevin?
Yes. Hate to say it too, but yes.
No.
Ooh.
Because you have my fantasy.
I do, but I have him because I think he's not someone who his whole career has been injury prone. He had a couple. He with the Giants early, but I feel good. I think they're gonna play him right. I think Daniel Jones is gonna play okay too. And he's not going to be good. I don't know that they didn't pick up his option on purpose, and I don't think they're going to keep him. But yes or no, will Trey Lance throw for more than 300 yards in a game this season? Eddie?
No, don't believe the hype.
There is no hype anymore. Well, that all died real quick. Even though it was unfair. They're freaking in a storm. It's like Al Roker and Hurricane Irma, and he's playing in it. Let's go to you, Adam.
I'm going to go yes. I don't know. I just got a feeling. That was an ugly, ugly game. It's hard to decide one way or the other. So I'm gonna go yes.
Kevin?
Yes. I mean, he's got Shanahan back there. As long as he has him coaching, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he will. I think maybe once or twice. I think he'll also probably rush for 70 or 80 yards, five or six games too. He's not gonna be your prototypical, let's try to throw for 300, hit that number, passing yards quarterback. He's probably going to try to throw for 220 or 230 and have 60 or 70 on the ground and maybe score a running touchdown every two games. So I hope Trey Lance does well, but, you know, he didn't have a lot of experience coming in. We talked about that before. Final question. Will Mike McCarthy make it through the season in Dallas as the head coach? Will he finish week 18 as the head coach? Go to Cowboy fan Eddie first.
Yes, I believe he will. I mean, I don't know why. There's no reason to
don't
say
need a reason.
He will,
just
but
like
I say yes.
All right, Kevin?
Yes.
Wow.
Jerry Jones doesn't really fire guys in season. I think he's done one before, right? So I just think he'll let him last. I don't think he'll make it past this season, into next season, but yes, through this season.
Adam?
On paper, he'll make it through, but Jerry's already going to have his guy before the end of the season.
I think McCarthy has a shot to, if McCarthy can win through all of this, I think he's punched his ticket for a couple more years.
Yeah.
I think he's on the old teeter-totter. It could go, it really could be he gets more than 1 year, a couple years, or he goes away, depending on. It's a very unfortunate situation that's happened in Dallas.
Yeah.
With injuries on the offensive line, injuries on your quarterback. If he can win through this and come out 10 and 7 or 18 weeks now. I get all mixed. Yeah.
I know.
It's all weird. If he come out 10-7, I think he keeps his job because it's been a very tumultuous season for the Cowboys.
He's navigating in very rough seas right now.
We're going to talk to Ed Warder in just a second, which is awesome. Ed Warder's from ESPN. I see him all the time. He's all the time. He's in, I'm in Dallas. And this was lined up before the Cowboys drama.
Yeah.
I was able
to
get
him. The timing was crazy.
So he was,
isn't the Cowboys drama always there, though?
Yes, but it's real bad now.
No, yeah, this is
it's real bad now.
That's true.
So Ed Warder coming up just a second. Was just a great interview. Let me tell you, the NFL's opening week, like we're talking about, it was action-packed, and the season's just getting started. Get ready for week two of touchdowns and big plays and bigger wins with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. Very simple. This Sunday, bet on any NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code BOBBYSPORTS to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. 21 and up, most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for terms and resources. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. And I will be giving my parlay picks coming up in a little bit, my picks, if you care. Okay, let's go over now and let us talk to Ed Warder. Since you know so many people in athletics, and if you get injured, like, do you have the context to go, hey, I just tore an ACL, can you help me?
Hey, I sneezed, how do I stop?
Yeah. But don't you know team doctors that would be like, yeah, Ed, here's what you can do? Do you have those relationships?
I do know team doctors, and the moment it proved most beneficial was when we found out that my wife had breast cancer and had no idea who to turn to. It was the morning before a Super Bowl, and I called somebody, a doctor, team physician that I know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, and by 7:15, he already had us an appointment with the best breast cancer surgeon in Dallas.
That's really, what about with relationships? Because, you know, this whole world is based on relationships. Do friends hit you up and be like, hey, Ed, can I get an autograph Troy Aikman or an autograph anybody? Does that happen with you?
I think they learned long ago that I'm not going to be their liaison for autograph memorabilia, game tickets, or other opportunities to engage with their favorite players, coaches, or, depending on the Sunday, players, coaches, and team officials they used to like and respect.
Ed Warder's on it. I'm just a big fan of you. I'll say this. Should have started with that, but I was so interested in getting to have team doctors in your back pocket. I'm a big fan of what you do, and I just have spent so much time like listening to you talk about different things through my sports life. So to actually get to really spend a few minutes with you, like, it's an honor for me. So thank you for the time.
I appreciate the opportunity to be a guest on your show.
You know, you're the guy in demand now, especially because of what's happening with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we had kind of scheduled this before all that went down in the last weekend, but it's like the eye of the storm right now in Dallas as far as what's happening in the NFL and all the news. What's happening right now? I mean, because I don't even know what to ask because it keeps changing.
Well, the latest calamity with the Cowboys is that Dak Prescott was injured in their season opening loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers late in the game. A 19-3 loss. He had surgery this week. The surgery revealed that the thumb fracture is not quite as significant as it could have been because the wrist is not necessarily involved. And this is his passing hand. So the Cowboys are electing not to put him on injured reserve, which would have meant he could not have played for at least 4 weeks. So that means that Dr. Jerry Jones, as we mockingly call him, and others are optimistic, and maybe there's an actual medical basis for it this time. They're optimistic that he could return inside of 4 weeks. And so we'll see. I mean, you know, even with Dak Prescott last week, the Cowboys were the only team in the NFL not to score a touchdown. They were the only team in the NFC East not to win their game. They went 10 consecutive possessions without scoring at all. And so now you enter into the equation week two with Cooper Rush as your starting quarterback.
You know, you mentioned Dr. Jerry Jones, but also PR Jerry Jones. I mean, as soon as the game was over, like, he was breaking the news. We knew when the doctor went out there, because I recognized the doctor at this point, when he went out on the field.
Dr. Dan Cooper?
Yeah, that something was wrong. And cowboy hat, like, you know.
Exactly.
You know that's who that is. And so you're like, oh, great. And so Jerry Jones comes out and says, this is what happened. And then Jerry Jones comes out again and goes, he can come back sooner. So I just don't know what do you really feel is happening? Do you think Dak can come back in 4 to 5 weeks instead of 8 like we were initially told?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the fact they're not putting him on injured reserve reflects that, because it'll cost him a spot on the roster that they could use for an available player, you know, the next few weeks. So, yeah, they're playing with a little less roster depth at other positions now because Dak Prescott is going to be active, and they hope he's not going to be active for the game, but they hope that he will play sooner rather than later. And, you know, you mentioned Jerry. I mean, there's nobody else like Jerry. He is the owner. He's officially the general manager. He's the president. He's, you know, host of every radio and television show that they have. And he does radio shows twice a week. He loves to use those as vehicles to break news, whether the coaching staff likes it or not. They might see it as a competitive advantage to withhold certain information medically on a player and his availability that Jerry prefers to put out there, so that he can have his name in the headline or at least attached to the news. After the game the other day, you're right, the locker room closes up, out bounds Jerry, the cameras and, you know, people, reporters like me, swarm Jerry. We ignore what's going on in the head coach's press conference. We decline their invitation to go in the locker room and interview the players, because Jerry's the guy in control of the whole thing. And so what he says is more relevant than what anybody else says.
With Cooper Rush coming in, and I go back to watching him play against the Vikings, because that's the one shred of hope that I think Cowboys fans have right now. I mean, can he go 2-2 and keep the Cowboys season afloat?
I don't know. You know, history tells you that teams with backup quarterbacks don't very often win. Cooper Rush did go in last year in Minnesota on the road and replace Dak Prescott and win the game. And he won it by throwing for over 300 yards. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, their starting receivers, both had over 100 yards in the game. And to me, that kind of makes the point. You know, I think the Cowboys went into this season believing that, hey, they didn't need to be great at wide receiver. You know, we could trade Amari Cooper for a fifth round pick, even though we have the money to pay him, because Dak Prescott can elevate the performance of everybody around him. I don't think it's fair to expect that from Cooper Rush. Like, Cooper Rush is not in all likelihood going to elevate the performance of the skill position players around him in the way that theoretically Dak could do. And he certainly didn't do it last Sunday night against Tampa. But I think you can count on Cooper Rush to execute the offense. He's been here, you know, for 4 or 5 years. He understands the system. And I just heard Mike McCarthy talk about, hey, we need to still be aggressive. And he was against Minnesota. But he's going to have the players around him are going to have to elevate his performance rather than the quarterback elevating their performance. To me, that's the challenge.
You talk about wide receivers. I think I've heard many people say, like, that they may not have the speed or the outside receivers to compete. I mean, is CeeDee Lamb, is he that guy? Is he going to be that guy?
I mean, that's what they thought. You know, to give you a sense of just how dire I and other critics believe this Cowboys wide receiver situation was, you know, this offseason, going, you know, throughout the preseason training camp, the preseason game, you know, they didn't play Dak, they didn't play Ezekiel Elliott, they didn't play CeeDee Lamb, and they didn't play Noah Brown, because he was a wide receiver, a veteran that they saw as their number two. He's a journeyman. You know, he hasn't caught a touchdown pass in the 4 years he's been in the league, and yet you're protecting this guy like he's Michael Irvin. You know, I think there's a real liability at that position, at least until Michael Gallup gets back from injury. And that could be any time. Mike McCarthy said even today they're going to, you know, begin integrating him into the team portions of practice. So I'm not sure it'll be a close decision on whether to play him this Sunday against the Bengals. But I think next week on Monday Night Football against the Giants is more likely at this time. But yeah, the position's in total chaos. CeeDee Lamb seems to have the athletic ability to be the number one receiver, but he was that the other night, and Dak threw 11 balls to him and he caught two. Not good.
Eddie is my best friend. He's also one of the producers on the show, but he's a massive Cowboys fan. Eddie, you got Ed here.
Woo! Ed, thank you for coming on the show. I think it's so cool that you're on. Obviously, this is a dream for me. So I'm going to ask you, we are, you know, Cowboys Nation, we are in panic mode. So can you give us a few words to settle our nerves a little bit about the rest of the season? Is that possible?
Well, I think the next few weeks without Dak Prescott are going to be pivotal to determining whether not only do they have a successful season, but can they win the division again? You know, nobody's won this division back to back for 17 years. And now the Cowboys suddenly seem challenged because they're already a game behind everybody else in the division. But if I was going to offer some kind of encouragement, I would say they need their defense to step up and be the reason that they win. And they're capable of that. They did that the whole second half of the season last year with the way they created turnovers. They led the NFL in takeaways. They led the NFL in interceptions. They led the NFL in defensive touchdowns. They need that now. And guess what? The schedule is pretty fortuitous in that way. You know why? Joe Burrow just turned the ball over 5 times last week and got sacked 7 times. He's coming to Jerry World this week. Dan Quinn needs to turn these guys loose, and they need to be the difference in the game. And the next week they go to the Giants, and guess what? Daniel Jones won last week under his new coach, Brian Daboll, but he had multiple turnovers for the 16th time. He's the NFL leader in having multiple turnover games in the time he's been in the league. So there's a reason to believe the Cowboys can persevere without Dak.
Oh, Bose, I just got chills. That's great. I love that.
Eddie feels like he just watched Rudy.
I love
Eddie
that.
Eddie just watched the final scene in Rudy, but it was Ed talking about the Cowboys.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ed, Jerry, you were talking about Jerry. How hard is it for McCarthy and all of these head coaches to come in? You see it. You're in the war zone. What's it like for these head coaches to come in and coach the Dallas Cowboys with Jerry as the owner?
Well, the reason that Jimmy Johnson left when he did was because Jerry Jones crossed the line, right? He crossed the line from executive ownership into coaching. And that may create a very difficult situation, especially as I mentioned, as public as Jerry is. I can remember times when after games, Dave Campo was afraid to answer the question of whether they won or lost because he didn't know what Jerry was going to say. So he had to wait till Wednesday. And that's an exaggeration, obviously. But yes, it's a difficult position. And it's difficult for Mike McCarthy because he comes from the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers don't even have an owner. They don't have a singular figure who's an owner, much less an owner who's among the most powerful and recognizable and involved on a daily basis. So that's the challenge for Mike McCarthy. That being said, I think it's pretty clear this is a critically important season for Mike McCarthy if he expects to, you know, get year 4 on his contract. He's 2 more years on his contract. And this is an interesting fact, I'll tell you. Mike McCarthy, and I mentioned Dave Campbell a minute ago, Mike McCarthy has lost all 3 of his season openers as the Cowboys head coach. He's 0-3. The only other of the 9 head coaches the Cowboys have had who went 0-3 in season openers was Dave Campbell. And guess what? He didn't get to season opener number 4.
I mean, is Sean Payton just that's going to happen, right, Ed?
You know, I think it's not as certain as most people do. First of all, Mike McCarthy has to fail, or at least he has to get fired. And Jerry could do that without him failing if he wanted Sean Payton badly enough. This is the problem with Sean Payton, and he has a great relationship with Jerry Jones. He worked in the organization under Bill Parcells. He's probably the most talented coach that Jerry Jones ever let out of the building. And he had great success in New Orleans. Yes, he would be an ideal fit here. I think there are things that Sean would want that I'm not sure Jerry would concede to him. And the other part of the equation is Jerry's never really believed in paying head coaches at the very top of the spectrum. And that's what Sean Payton is going to demand. And not only that, but because he has time on his contract left with the New Orleans Saints, you have to compensate the New Orleans Saints before you can theoretically even talk to Sean Payton. So is Jerry Jones going to want to give away part of next year's draft and pay Sean Payton as much as any coach in the NFL makes? Or does he maybe think, hey, Dan Quinn has been a head coach. He coached a team to a Super Bowl. Look at the culture he's created here on defense. I love what I've seen from Dan Quinn. The players embrace Dan Quinn. Maybe Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn is definitely the most serious competitor to Sean Payton. And it would be interesting to me because if Jerry thinks that this season is not going to meet his expectations and that at the end of it, he's likely to be looking for a new head coach, would he, for only the second time in his history, move on from his head coach during the season so that Dan Quinn would get to essentially audition with the current franchise, the players in the locker room, to see how he did over a period of time as an interim head coach? Jerry's only done that once. That was when he fired Wade Phillips after they got embarrassed in Green Bay, and it became very obvious the players had quit on him. And at that time, Jerry had a person on the coaching staff that he viewed as the next head coach, and that was Jason Garrett, and that's what happened.
It's a soap opera. It's always a soap opera. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad, or it's just a soap opera all the time.
You know, I always tell people, first of all, there's no question I wouldn't have had the career I've had, to whatever you think of it. I wouldn't have had it if it hadn't been for the fact that I was covering the Dallas Cowboys. I always tell people I live in Dallas because I'm, you know, in an American Airlines hub. I'm centrally located, so I can go anywhere in the NFL basically nonstop within 4 hours. And I got Jerry's football circus in my backyard.
Yeah, it's a good circus if you're going to work there. It's a awesome. Good one. I saw your Twitter, and it looked like you were in Seattle the other night.
Correct.
What was that like for Russ when he came out? Because again, I saw on ESPN. I didn't get to see the early parts when he was coming out in the stadium, obviously, because it wasn't on television. But except on ESPN when they were showing some of the clips, what was it like to be there when he came out? And were you like, "Come on, guys"? Or were you like, "Okay, I get it. You're booing him because he asked to be traded"?
Well, yeah, a lot of people expected some kind of, you know, warm embrace from Seattle toward Russell Wilson. I mean, they all recognize that Russell was a great player there for 10 years, and he won a lot of games, and he led him to 2 Super Bowls, and he helped win one of those. That being said, he's also an adversary. He left the franchise in part because that's what he wanted. And beyond that, he's the opposing quarterback right now. So I think at the end of Russell Wilson's career, there will be some grand spectacle and, you know, some acknowledgement of what he's done. Maybe they'll retire his number. But I didn't think last night was the night for that, or the other night was the night for that. He came in as a Denver Broncos quarterback, and he came in as a Denver Broncos quarterback because that's what he wanted. I thought the most interesting part of the whole thing, and it was a compelling night. I mean, for Russell Wilson in his first game with Nathaniel Hackett as his coach to essentially have the coach decide, "I'm taking the ball out of your hands and I'm going to have the kicker attempt the second longest field goal in NFL history in the place where you were a hero," had to be a difficult start to that relationship. But beyond that, it was interesting to me as somebody who covered those Seattle Legion of Boom teams when they were at their best and they went to 2 Super Bowls and they're one of the dominant teams in the league. It was interesting to me to see the number of former players from that era who were back at the game, who were on the sidelines. You know, it was Marshawn Lynch and Doug Baldwin and Cliff Averill and KJ Wright. They're just all kinds of former players. And they were there not because they wanted to watch Russell Wilson. It was because they did not appreciate the way Pete Carroll allowed Russell to be bigger than everybody else on the team. They thought it was hypocritical, and they wanted this moment. They wanted to stand there and basically, "Pete, we expect you to return to the culture you created here. Run the football, play great defense. It's not about the appeasing the quarterback." And that's exactly what Pete did. And Pete kind of suggested all of that was true in his comments on the radio after the game.
We have like 3 minutes left with Ed. And so just some quick answers here. Do you think, and you're a Colorado guy, at least born there. I don't know if you're a Broncos follower like every single day, but do you think the Broncos can win with Russ as their quarterback this year?
Absolutely. I think that they're in the toughest division in football. And they've seen since the Peyton Manning Super Bowl that they haven't made the playoffs for 6 consecutive years. They recognize that you're not going to be competitive really anywhere in the NFL, but certainly not in a division with Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Herbert and Derek Carr, unless you have a quarterback. And they've gone from having the worst quarterback in the situation in the division to arguably the second best, depending on whether you put him above Herbert.
Final two questions. I watched the Eagles and the Lions, and I watched the whole game, and they both looked really good and really bad, depending on if you're an offensive guy or defensive guy. Are those teams really good or really bad, or are they just still figuring it out?
I think Philadelphia is good. I mean, they made the playoffs last year. I think the question I had coming in was, well, is Jalen Hurts going to evolve as a passer? You know, they got it, made a major trade in the first round of the draft and got him A.J. Brown from the Tennessee Titans, who's an elite receiver, a big physical guy, an easy target. And I think he showed what he could do the other day on opening day when they did narrowly win by 3 points, but they scored a lot of points. And they achieved some record of scoring over 80 points against the same opponent in consecutive meetings without a single passing touchdown. They did it all on the ground in terms of scoring.
Same kind of question as far as the 49ers and the Bears. Listen, it was raining so hard, you couldn't even see. The cameras were wet, right? So are the 49ers and Trey Lance, are they not that good? Or are the Bears going to be better than everyone expected?
Look, I like Matt Eberflus, the new Bears coach. I played golf with him. He was an assistant here in Dallas. He deserves the opportunity he's gotten. I think it's going to take some time. I don't think the Bears are going to contend in the NFC North with the Packers and the Vikings. I think the Vikings might be the biggest surprise in the NFL this year with their new coach, Kevin O'Connell, coming over from the Rams. I think the 49ers are going to be a fascinating watch because it's very clear to everybody that this is a team that has everything necessary to contend to get back to the Super Bowl again. And the quarterback they're not playing, Jimmy Garoppolo, right now is more equipped to win than the quarterback they are playing now, Trey Lance, a young player who's, you know, going through some difficulties as every, you know, young quarterback does. But he came in with so little experience. I mean, he had the fewest passing attempts among any top 10 any quarterback drafted in the top 10 in history. And so he didn't have a lot of experience in college football. He came from a smaller school, and now he's got to play for the 49ers in a very competitive division. So I think that bears watching, that situation there with Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, and Kyle Shanahan.
Ed, we're all massive fans. Again, we've watched you and respected you for so long. We're grateful that you would spend time with us. And everybody, you can follow Ed Warder, Ed ESPN. Thank you for talking to us peons, Ed. That's basically what I want to say. Everybody.
Yes, thank you, Ed.
All right, Ed, have a great day. Thank you
I
so much.
I don't view any of you guys in quite that way, but thanks for having me on, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Bye, Ed. Great interview from Ed Warder. Appreciate it. On Monday, I've already done it. If you love wrestling, Diamond Dallas Page, had him for 45 minutes, and we talked him wrestling Sting and Goldberg, and it's really cool. So that should be on Monday coming up here. And please go and rate this thing something. Please give it all the stars. How many are the... Let's make
5 stars.
Please, we need it.
5.
It's still a new podcast. Yeah. And also, we're going to move off the Bobby Bones Show feed eventually. So if you don't mind subscribing over there, we're just a mom and pop podcast starting up.
Yeah.
We're just a startup. We need your help, honestly. So we appreciate that and tell your friends about it. Just very grateful that you guys would listen here. What game are you looking forward to most around the room? It could be college or NFL. What game you looking forward to most? Let's go over to Eddie.
Ooh, I want to see the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills.
Monday night.
I do want to see. I can't wait for that, and I have to wait all weekend for that. But I just think that the Bills, I mean, we were shocked at how awesome they came out week one. And then the Titans, like, I don't think that they had it all together. I want to see them. I want to see them play a really, really good team. They are in Buffalo, and I think after this game, we'll know exactly how the Titans are going to be this season.
It's the kind of game the Titans win, too, honestly.
Could be.
I don't think they're going to, but this is the kind of game that they win.
Right.
And they often play to their competition, which is weird because they even play suck to suck.
That's so weird.
Like last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I like that. What do you got over there at Kickoff, Kevin? What's the game you're looking forward to seeing?
I'm going to stick with Monday night and go with the other game. That's the Vikings and Eagles. I think just coming off of the first week, both of these teams look good. Offensively, Jalen Hurts looked good. Kirk Cousins looked good. Justin Jefferson looked good. So I'm excited to see if it kind of holds through with week two and these two teams going at it.
For me, I'm looking forward to see if Texas A&M whoops Miami. They kind of have to. They have to win, or the wheels are just completely off. They're not going to fire Jimbo Fisher, but that's a bad App State loss. That's the game people are talking about, not the Notre Dame one as much, because there were a lot of those. It's the Texas A&M game. Oof, it's an SEC school, number 6 in the country, at home. We could keep going on and on to see if Texas A&M just takes care of business with Miami. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Did you see that College Game Day is going to be in App State? They're going to App State.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
They played Troy.
Also, that's funny. And there's also not another big game, really.
There really isn't.
I think that's why.
Yeah, there are a couple like medium games, but that great for App State.
Yeah.
Boone went crazy after that game. Yeah, it was awesome.
They got to clean it up a little bit before they get there, but yeah.
That's, turn the cars back over. Yeah.
True. I didn't know that, though. That's awesome. Okay, what do you got, Adam?
It's going to seem a little bit random, but BYU and Oregon, man, BYU's just looked really good. I'm interested to see if Oregon can bounce back and look good against a solid BYU team. BYU's just tough. They run the ball hard. They play good defense. They're going to make you beat them, or they're going to make you beat yourself is kind of the name of their game, I feel like.
That's the other good game. Yeah. But, you know, if you look at the games where two teams, and next week it kind of gets rolling with a lot of the schools actually mm-hmm. playing people. But yeah, I think those are four good games, you know, two college, two NFL.
Yeah.
If you got one day to watch, Saturday or Sunday, what do you watch?
Sunday.
Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday, too.
Really?
Yeah. It's close. Man. It's close, especially with fantasy and I've, you know, bought teams and doing all this crap, but I just love college football so much. I'm surprised, Kevin, you said that being from Boston, where it's not really that culture's not there.
Well, I'm actually from California, but where it's not.
Well, stop
even
wearing
smaller.
Everything Boston in New England. No. Everything about them is like Boston, Boston, Boston.
I know, but I think that's why, because I'm not. Oh, I don't know. For whatever reason, college football has always been at the top of my list, ahead of all my teams. Maybe it's because I don't even have a real team, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think the fan base and the atmosphere is what gets it for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my parlays in a second, but first let's go over to Adam and let's do Adam Stats.
Adam Stats. Adam has all your stats for you. Adam Stats.
What do you got, Adam?
I got that incredible intro from it. That's amazing. First, Bobby, I got to give you a big pat on the back because you've been talking about Patrick Mahomes coming out with something to prove without Tyreek Hill. He did that in week one. 9. That's the number of people who caught passes for Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
He spread the ball around. He was making plays with his arm. And
Nine.
That's crazy. Nine.
That's awesome.
Dudes.
Good stat.
So that was one. That was more of just a pat on the back. My question is, in all the stuff that's been made of the Cowboys looking like a trash sandwich on Sunday, they looked terrible. And a lot's been made of that. But one thing I feel like has kind of been passed up is Brady turning in an 18 for 27, 212 yard, one touchdown, one pick performance that was good for 11th in the league in QBR. So what that tells me is like not quite sharp, but my question is against that Cowboys defense in week one, does that change what you think the Bucs can accomplish this year, or is it just an aberration?
It's week one, so we got to kind of go aberration, even though it's Tom Brady, we hold him to a higher standard. Also, again, they have offensive line issues too. That's a real thing. You could put Tom Brady behind a bad offensive line. It's not Tom Brady anymore. I'm not worried. Honestly, it's week one. If we're at week four.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I'm going, you know, but even with Brady, I'm still not going to be worried. I think physically he's still there. I don't know what's happening at home. I mean, we think we know what's happening at home, but, you know, over under on if Giselle leaves this year or next year. I don't know.
Over,
she's even saying stuff like, I just want him to be
really
home.
Is.
Just wanted him to be home. Yeah. I think it's fine. I think the Bucs can still win the division.
Yeah.
I think they, because they have Tom Brady, I think they can still win it all.
Yeah.
Eddie?
No, I mean, I think the Cowboys really, the defense is so good, especially that pass defense. It's just, the only way they scored and they moved the ball with Dallas was running the ball. Fournette just demolished the Cowboys defense. And I think that just showed that we really can't see what Brady can do. I think the credit goes to the Cowboys defense on Sunday night's performance.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'm with Eddie. Just kind of piggyback on that. I think their game plan was to run the football, and Leonard Fournette looked great. But,
Leonard Fournette looked awesome.
Yeah.
He fooled us. He ain't as fat as he said he was.
Yeah, exactly.
Golly.
That's what 260 likes.
He needs to be fat all the time. Why wasn't he fat years ago?
And then they lost their left tackle in the beginning going against Micah Parsons. So I just think their game plan was to run the football.
All right, there it is. The nine. That's a really good stat, the Patrick Mahomes 9.
Yeah,
nine,
amazing.
More than anything.
I didn't even know they had that many eligible receivers.
Yeah, they did. That's why it's crazy.
They pulled people out of the crowd.
A center and a guard and nine guys at once. It's like seven-man football with nine receivers. Right. All right, there we go.
Adam Stats, that's an Adam Stats, he's got those stats for you.
Okay, so I'm going to get to my parlay here in a second, and you can bet this because on DraftKings, they put it up in the front. It's the 25 Whistles Parlay. And put in the code Bobby Sports. There's all these things that they do over there. I hope you put in Bobby Sports. It's week two, so we're going to figure out what's happening here. Unless you're in college, it's week three. I got more information up in the noggin on college. I got 3 weeks. So this week, new customers can bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Everybody can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. Now listen, Sunday, bet on any NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. That's right. DraftKings, get in. Put in the code BobbySports. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use the code BobbySports to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for terms and resources. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Okay, my parlay of the week is going to be up on DraftKings, which I hope you see it here.
I really was thinking about being brave and just because I've nailed some threes. I was going to go with a fiver, but I can't. I can't because that's just not smart. I wouldn't bet this fiver, so I can't. And everything I put out there, I bet. The DraftKings didn't give me any money. Not to bet with. I wish they did. I'm betting my own money here.
Hey, go fiver.
Fivers are fun.
I can't.
Okay.
So here's what I'm going to do. As we record this, lines can change. A half point, a point, who knows? But we record this, you know, often on Thursday. 12, 14 hours before it even happens. So when I say this, I still stick because the lines aren't going to change so much. I wouldn't worry about any of these, even if the line moved half a point, a point. If it moves like three, you know, I don't know. I'm going Georgia, and right now, Georgia over South Carolina, and it's showing up as Georgia giving up 24 points. That's it. South Carolina's got two starters that are out. I told you guys in the episode Monday, I was already leaning on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing that one down.
They got two starters. They got three other guys that last I saw were questionable. And so I'm going Georgia. I mean, it's three touchdowns and 32-point conversions. That's all it is. Not that they're going to do that, but Georgia at 24. I would probably bet it at 26, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm going Alabama, and Alabama is giving up right now 49.
Oof. Ooh, that's a lot, Bones.
They're playing Louisiana Monroe.
I know.
And they're angry.
Angry.
They are. They are very angry.
They're angry. And if they weren't angry, I wouldn't touch this game. Not week three. But I'm going Alabama, and I'm taking the 49. I'm going Alabama, giving up the points. And screw it, I'm going a four. I'm going to go a four.
Oh.
I'm
not done a
four yet.
Not a
boy.
I'm not done a four, but I'm going to do a four. Texas, I think they're angry. I like angry schools.
Both teams are angry from that game.
I like angry schools. Texas is not even a two-touchdown favorite. And I think Texas has given up 12.5 as of right now. It could change to 13. I'm good. I'm good all the way to 14 probably. Texas at UTSA, or playing UTSA.
Oh, San Antonio.
And UTSA is pretty good. Roadrunners were really good last year.
Yeah.
They were whispered to be, you know, a team that could sneak in. They were never going to. But they're good. They're good. But I think they're angry. And then my final game, OU and Nebraska.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think they're sad.
They're broken.
I think all my games off emotion.
You sound like my wife.
Yeah. I think that's what
they're going to be mad.
Yeah, I think they're sad. I think they're sad. Yeah. So OU, as of this recording right now, which may change, is minus 11. Playing Nebraska. I think Nebraska's like, they're either going to come out and like, we're going to play for our assistant coach who we love. But do they even have so those are my four. Ooh, I'm going to four. If I hit this, guys, if I hit this.
I mean, that's it.
It's over.
Yeah. It's over, dude. You are the king.
Just put the crown on my head. But I'm hitting that four. There you go, DraftKings. Be sure to get in. It's awesome. The code is Bobby Sports. Before we go, Eddie, I do want to come to you. If I were to say make one bet and you bet your car.
Ooh.
Significant.
My car.
Dang. Yeah. What's your Eddie's bet my car bet of the week?
Okay, so I look at the board and I think that New England's playing Pittsburgh. And New England, what we saw, is not very good yet. They'll figure it out. But Tomlin, to me, just somehow figures it out. It doesn't matter who he has, what his squad is. Tomlin figures out games. And they are an underdog.
Never had a losing record.
Never had a losing record. They're an underdog at home against New England. No offense, Kevin. And I think that they could win this game, but just take that 1 point. So I would bet your car. If you're going to bet your car.
You're betting your car.
Well, yeah. But if you have more than one car, bet the crappier one.
Eddie's car.
I would put it on
week.
Pittsburgh plus one.
All right, Mike, hit that song for us, please. Thank you again, everybody. You've turned this into, a small success, and we just wouldn't be able to do it without you. I think everybody's going, wow, people actually listen to that?
They do.
And we say that too.
Yeah, we're asking.
They do, as in people do listen, or people say.
People are really saying that?
Is it a question?
Yeah, everywhere I go. Really? They don't even know it's me, and they're like, can you believe people listen to that 25 listens? What a dumpster fire that is. Mike, and you're going to find out if I can say more smiles than frowns.
I will check on that.
Right? Yeah.
If I were a lawyer, I'd say yes.
Yeah, more smiles. Hey, bet with me, more smiles than frowns. Because
yeah,
what am I actually promising?
Yeah.
More smiles than frowns?
Really?
Yeah, it could be about anything.
Yeah.
Final thought, Eddie.
Oh, man. Final thought is I just feel like kickers need to get paid more. When I saw the Rodrigo Blankenship thing go down, they tied. The game ended in a tie. It's week one, and you fired your kicker?
Yeah.
The dude that has the most color and flair of your team with the black rim glasses? Like, I just feel like that's a high-stress situation. Forget Zeke Elliott. Forget Dak Prescott. Forget these big contracts on quarterbacks. You got to pay your kicker a lot of money because they go through a lot of stress.
Kickoff, Kevin.
My final thought comes from Miami last week. I don't know if you saw it. Do not leave your barbecue underneath your car, or else 11 cars will go up in flames, and you will come out of the game and see your car all burnt up.
That's tough to see.
So don't do that.
That's tough to see. Adam?
Week two was the toe-stubbinest week in college football I have ever seen. Watching Notre Dame go down, watching Texas A&M go down, that was just amazing. I even bet the money line on Texas and the under, thanks to my buddy Brett Young. It was his idea. And we were 1 point away from winning.
But you didn't. You didn't.
I didn't. I know. It's so close. That's how they get you.
We almost won.
That's how they get you. My hopes were so high.
No, they get you for betting on Texas.
Exactly. But the week was so fun. That's why I love college football. That's why Saturday is my day, because anything can happen, especially early in the season. So week two, dumpster fire for some, but it was glorious and I loved it.
My thoughts are, if you're looking for cheap gets now in fantasy that didn't have a good week one, you can make a trade. I would try to get Pickens in Pittsburgh. He's a rookie. I think he only had one catch. Again, he's a rookie, but he like that dude, as they say, he's a dog for her. He's an athlete. He is a really good wide receiver, big guy. Trubisky's going to look for him more. You can probably get him a cheap price right now, and maybe for the next couple of weeks. So I would say Pickens is one of those. I would even still look at Treylon Burks. He had 3 catches for 55 yards, I think. I think that was his line. It'll be a few weeks before he really, really consistently contributes, but they're looking for somebody to be able to be that guy, and not the Tyreek Hill guy, but to be a guy that can play in the middle and make receptions in Tennessee. Problem is, they don't have a quarterback that can do it consistently, get him the ball.
Yeah.
So I would say Treylon Burks is probably another one. And then on the Freiermuth for the tight end of Pittsburgh, he's going to be good all year. And this may be one of the last chances you have to get him for a decent price too. He had a good week last week. I think he put up like 13 points or something. But that's who Trubisky's looking for every time. I mentioned Pickens. Sometimes he doesn't have time to get to them. Mm-hmm. These guys love their tight ends and their checkdowns. And Najee's out in Pittsburgh. So those are the 3 picks I would give you guys in fantasy right now. You're in my league.
I know. Thanks for giving me those picks.
Hey, Mike, we have Diamond Dallas Page on next week. Do we have an idea who's going to be on next Friday?
Let me look at the schedule.
Maybe Jay Glazer next Friday. We have Ricky Williams on the agenda coming up.
Yeah.
So nice. It doesn't matter. We got some cool guys. And Rich Eisen.
Right. Oh, man. That was worth the wait.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
All right, you guys have a great weekend. More smiles and frowns.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what you get just for listening to this show.
Yeah, until
more
I tell you not to say
smiles
that.
Smiles than frowns. All right, have a good week. Bye, everybody.
Wait, whistle.
Oh, yeah,
whoa.
Forget every time.
Hold on.
Every time. Mike, you got your whistle on?
I do.
Have you ever blown us out?
Yes, one time.
All right, blow us again. There he is. We'll see you next week, everybody.